Technorama episode 620.
Are you on the naughty list?
Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you are new to the show, well, welcome to you, newcomer. Do we have some sort of initiation thing for them, Craig? I don't know.
They've been here before.
They're going to be hazed by Ben and Keith.
Thank you for that kind of introduction.
My name is Chuck Tomasi, all the way from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me across the country is none other than the usual Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. I'm still digesting Thanksgiving dinner.
That'll take about 2 months.
Feels like it.
drink some prune juice, Worf. And also joining us for the first time in what seems like forever and a COVID.
Forever in a COVID? Is that what you said?
Yes. The TG Geeks, Ben and Keith. You guys can flip to see who introduces first.
Peace. Howdy.
Are we doing age or beauty?
We're here in Phoenix, Arizona as well.
Yeah.
But not in North Phoenix.
Not in North Phoenix, no. We're like Central Phoenix.
Hey, it's kind of funny. I see your videos are, for me, they're, Keith is on the left, Ben is on the right, but it looks like you're on the other way around in the room because I can see a poster behind both of y'all.
It's actually directly behind me, so it's over his left hand shoulder.
Well, you're sitting side by side.
Our mixer is in between
okay.
us.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were like at 90 degree angle or something, and you had two posters. That's why you were saying the other poster, and I'm saying there's already two in the picture. Okay, never mind.
Right.
Wow. Okay,
I was going to have one behind me.
And it's funny how Zoom presents that differently because I've got me in the upper right, then Craig right below me, and Keith is over there to my side, and Ben in the opposing corner. So it's like, why?
Oh, so you've got the four up.
I've got the four up.
So we're focused on you, and then everybody's at the top.
Well, okay.
Yeah, you can drag him around, by the way.
And, well, interesting, and we've hijacked the show already.
That's right. Terribly nice interesting.
Something stuff. Never change.
Terribly interesting stuff for the listener.
Yeah, riveting podcasting.
Zoom.
Hey, I've heard podcasts.
This is a webinar.
I've heard podcasts talk about less and get more listeners.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, then clearly Keith and I are doing something wrong.
We talk about the heady stuff.
If I could figure that out, I'd write a book.
Exactly. Yeah, like the one over your shoulder, Chuck.
Yeah, you've...
Fourth edition's out.
Here comes the shill.
Buy the book. It's on sale. All right, we are going to go right into the feedback, because we haven't heard this song enough.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
I still have that animated GIF of us all dancing.
Oh, no. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm ever having a bad day, just pull out that GIF and play with it. It's fun.
So I forgot about that.
All right. We got an email from Yorga. Actually, I think it was a Facebook Messenger one. Was it this morning, Craig? It was real recent. Listener Yorga, longtime listener, all the way from Belgium. He says, I'm still on episode 616. A toaster in Dutch is a brood rooster.
Oh, dear.
Basically, it's a bread griller. Like, okay. Yeah, you know, you can kind of see that in the words themselves. Bread for brood, rooster for roaster. You know, or
it's a bread griller.
A bread griller.
Yeah. Like a sandwich?
No, it's a toaster.
Oh, I see. Bread I got it. Bread griller.
Did you even read this, Craig?
Brood rooster. I'm thinking, okay, he's talking about a chicken sandwich. I don't know.
At first I thought he was talking about just, this is the, chief rooster in the coop. Takes care of all the hens.
He's right. The big,
big kahuna, whatever we're calling it. Our question to you last week was, what problem from the 1980s or 90s no longer exists? And oh boy, did we get some dandies.
Uh-huh.
Craig, would you like to start out?
Well, wait a minute. Before we start, I was thinking, I think I mentioned it last time, was dial-up internet, but basically you're still having internet issues.
It feels like dial-up. We don't even have enough upload speed to sustain one stream, let alone two. So apologies. Yeah. Everybody's going to be watching this recorded afterwards, but we appreciate you watching anyway.
Yeah. So when we share this on Technorama, let's see, on the Technorama page, having to low-level format a hard drive, 32 megabyte partition size limits, 8.3 file name limit. Oh, that 32 meg partition was painful.
Yes, especially if you got like a 60 meg drive. It's like, well, I could do 30, 30, and 10. Yeah. Put my operating system here and then these files over there. And those, oh, now I have a CD and an E drive. Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Not.
Yeah, I had a 42 megabyte hard drive from my first 286.
Oh, yeah, the doorstop.
Ooh, yeah.
The doorstop. I had an 80 meg full height, 5.25-inch hard drive. I think it was the ST4096. Mm-hmm. And when that thing got the read-write heads going, it shook the whole desk. It was just, it was a massive momentum. You could tell when that thing was compiling a program. It was like, bah, 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 bah. Like, whoa, put the popcorn on, Kenny.
Reminds me of that. I'm sorry, go ahead, Keith.
My dad had one of the first HP computers for the lumberyard, and the disks were this big around. I mean, they were
like my clocks in the studio.
A plate. Yeah, they were plates, and he'd carry that thing home every night. There were like six platters in that thing, and that was the backup for the day.
Put them in the trunk, and it takes up the whole trunk.
Hey, they held 5 megabytes.
Don't leave them in the car in the Phoenix in the summer.
That's right.
Melt your hard drive there. Anyway.
Well, not all these were technical issues. Tracy Seller says her chance of getting anyone pregnant, he says his chance of getting anyone pregnant. Okay. I guess that was a problem that he had before and doesn't have now.
Wonder how that took place.
Not where I was going, but okay.
Yeah, some farmer equipment. It was a bad accident.
Whoops.
Right. Whoops.
I got a classmate that says a problem that doesn't exist from the 80s or 90s is me trying to get through trigonometry.
Right.
Phone cords no longer getting tangled up. Oh.
Oh, but where's the joy in that? I mean, that was so much fun getting them untangled.
I don't know.
You could walk from one room to the next.
How could you? I could never figure out how you get a spiral going one direction and then hit that kind of counterclockwise thing and then they go the other direction. How does
it's
that even
happen? It's very weird. I know.
How the heck did that happen?
I know. I've not been able to quite figure that one out. That's right up there with the Mobius strip.
And I started, I'd spend hours trying to move that little incongruity up the phone line to try and get it. No. No, I could cause those things, but I could never undo them. It's kind of like tangling a slinky.
It was one of those things just to keep you. It was one of those things just to keep you occupied, Chuck. That's all.
I'm sure somebody was on the phone dividing by zero.
Oh, this one's interesting. Something that doesn't exist anymore. Settling disagreements. Now you just have to say hey, Google.
or just troll them on Facebook.
Look it up on IMDb.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I remember when IMDb came in. We live in IMDb.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Yeah. Like I've seen that guy somewhere before.
We do that all the time. I know I've seen him somewhere. We'll be watching whatever show it is.
Is that?
And Keith's he has his IMDb page open on his iPad, and he's like, "Oh, I know who that is." And then he'll stop and read all the trivia and stuff. Yeah, we spent our entire time there.
Amazon X-ray is nice, but it doesn't always cover all the details because they only give you this person was seen in 3 shows. Like, no, scroll back to like 1995, and you find more stuff. Go, that's where I've seen him on that obscure movie I watched once.
Yeah,
exactly.
Samuel McKenzie says, one of the things he doesn't worry about, have a problem with anymore, is giving a crap.
Okay. I'll leave that.
Yeah. I think that's called retirement.
IRQ jumpers.
Oh, glad not to have those. Rewinding cassette tapes with a pencil.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah.
Trying to find your friends, I think, is probably a big one. Now you can just text them.
Julio says, music playing very slow when your batteries run down. Johnny Cash is walking really slow into that burning ring of fire.
Burning ring of fire. What do you got on yours, Chuck?
A Rolodex. Switching the TV channel to 3 to play video games.
Oh my God.
There's a winner.
That's funny.
Actually getting up to change the channel.
I would say, you know, as the kid, I was the remote control.
Exactly.
Setting the VCR to record a TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
That doesn't seem that long ago, but it is.
Like, yeah.
Okay, we're going out on Tuesday at 7. Make sure you set the VCR. It's still blinking. It's still blinking midnight. What do you do? Just turn it on. We'll fast forward to that part.
ask the kid to come in. They'll fix it.
Yeah, that's right.
Running.
You know, I was kid joking about dial-up internet the other day, but you know, when somebody would pick up the phone while you're online, you know, it either kick you off or it would mess up whatever.
Too many times it happened to me.
There were a couple of those in here too. It's like waiting for somebody to get off the phone so I could use dial-up.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, I remember using this kind of news reader that I would use this. It was some sort of a Usenet reader, and I would download all these packets and then read all my information, you know, read all my, the news items I was interested in, compose all my replies, and just hold on to it and then wait for everybody to go to sleep so I could dial on and upload the entire darn thing.
Cue it up.
Offline editing. It was an early version of offline editing. Oh, yeah. Man, Tommy Clifford went nuts on this one. He says, busy signals, rotating the antenna to get better reception, watching HBO with the blurry scan lines, but you can still hear the sound.
Yeah. Right.
Somebody actually posted an animated GIF of that. Like, I thought that was funny. Having a gas station attendant fill your gas for you and folding a map.
We still have a map in the car. In my car, anyway. Mm-hmm.
The last one we had was more of a book, and the book just sort of folded in half and then snapped shut. It was a big, atlas kind of thing. But
yeah,
ours
is like western half of the U.S. because we go to California a lot, and there was several. You know, when we needed a map, now the car knows how to drive itself there.
Pretty much forgotten
now, but
yeah, but then we've got Apple Play in our Apple CarPlay. So who cares?
Yep. There's the map right there.
I'm surprised no one has ever thought of in terms of a problem that doesn't exist anymore. Preparing for Y2K.
Yes.
I don't have to do that anymore.
Y2K.
never preparing for what, 2039 or whatever the.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
I forget what the actual date is.
Maybe it's. We always we had a software program that it defaulted to 2076. So.
So my problem that no longer exists is getting a paper paycheck delivered to you by hand every 2 weeks, then having to go to the bank or credit union and carving out enough cash to get you, because there were no ATMs, carving out enough cash to get you by the next 2 weeks.
Right.
That was budgeting at its best. You got to love
direct deposit.
Yeah. I don't think I have any money. I mean, I get these.
Apple Pay.
Yeah. I get these electronic paychecks. I spend money electronically. I don't think I have any money. I don't know where it goes.
I don't have any cash. No, it's all digits.
I have a bowl of pennies and quarters here.
Yeah. I got some change, but I don't carry currency on me anymore.
Well, when it is
all digital,
when it is in your wallet, it stays there forever. I had.
Yeah, that's true.
And Donna made sure that I wouldn't spend it. She gave me $100 bill. Like, what do you do with just that?
It's there.
You
forget that it's. Well, no one's going to take it. And then at the same time, you're just so used to either, you know, handing them a debit card or playing with Apple Pay on a watch that you just forget the cash is there.
You buy a bottle of water with $100 bill. Why is my wallet so fat now?
Yeah,
I know.
I finally did break the $100 bill last weekend when we went for the horse rides and we were giving a tip. And I said, can you make change for this? Because I'm not giving you a $100 tip.
You think a bank?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. $45 in change. Just keep it. So I'll carry it around.
It gives it all in ones. Here you go, sucker.
Yeah.
All right. We have had fun with that. Thank you very much for everybody who answered that. And I'm sure we'll have a few more coming in over the next few days. That was at least 10 minutes of fun entertainment on your expense. No, that didn't come out right, but let's move on.
Point well taken. At your expense. On your, well, whatever.
Which means next up is history. And we have four people. We need to roll.
Wow. Oh my God.
What the hell do we
roll? We're going to have to roll proxy. Yeah.
Guess what? There you go.
Oh, Craig's on the ball. I haven't
had. Don't have any.
Let me blow these up. I think they got dusty. Right.
Give me roll for Ben.
Sure. I'll roll for Please. Keith.
All right. These are my lucky dice, by the way.
I got an 11.
Oh, you got a 5, Ben.
Okay.
Keith gets a 6.
All right. I had an 11.
I lost track of who. I got an 11. What did you get, Craig? 11 also?
I had an 11.
Okay. We have to roll.
Oh, again. We got a roll off. Roll off. Stupid dice. I got another 11.
I got a 20. Okay. So me, Craig, Keith, Ben,
me.
I think. It's not in any order on my screen. So Chuck,
okay.
Craig, Keith, Ben. That's not even alphabetic in any way. So we'll go with that. It's good thing it's a short one tonight.
No kidding.
Nothing happened. No, this was really... a lame day in history, in my opinion. There were lots of like earthquakes and bombings and lawyers' birthdays.
Oh, like 2020?
Nice. On this day in history for December 2nd, the day when nothing happened. It is the 337th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 29 days remaining in 2020. And it was on this date in 1927, following 19 years of Ford Model T production, the Ford Motor Company unveils the all-new ride in style in the Ford Model A as its new automobile.
Wasn't the A first?
They didn't figure out naming schemes back then.
Yeah. On December 2nd, 1939, New York City's LaGuardia Airport is opened.
Oh, is it me?
Yes.
Keith.
Oh. Usually it's Craig doing
also, that. Also, on December 2nd, 1942, during the Manhattan Project, a team led by Enrico Fermi initiated the first artificial self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction.
And also 38 years ago today, at the University of Utah, Barney Clark became the first person to receive a permanent artificial heart.
I remember that. That was also the same time that John DeLorean was put in jail.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's right.
My younger brother had a cassette recording of some news snippet, and it had both those articles, and he listened to that over. It was like right in the middle of two songs that he made on a mixtape. Like, John DeLorean's still cooling his heel in a state penitentiary.
He put in news and maybe even commercials in his mixtapes.
It was great.
Well, you're recording off radio.
Yeah.
Where were we? Oh, that same date in 1993, NASA launched the Space Shuttle Endeavour on mission STS-61 to repair the Hubble Space Telescope because it was blurry.
And happy birthday goes out on this date to American businessman. He co-founded the Ringling Brothers Circus, Charles Edward Ringling, born on this date in 1863.
Peter Carl Goldmark, the Hungarian-American engineer, was born 114 years ago today, and I have a couple of birthdays that I found for our show.
You do the whole week, though. Yeah. I'm focused on one day.
Well, he's got, we have December got for 2nd. One day.
I have December 2nd here. Maybe a whole week. Maria Callas and Jonathan Frid, everybody's favorite TV vampire.
All That's right. True. Thanks for the bonus Happy content. Birthday.
The bonus.
Ben, take us into the listener birthday. You want to do the listener birthdays, Ben?
No, I'll let you do it.
Okay. Listener birthdays for this week include December 2nd, Ben Frixell from the Mac Mania podcast, which we haven't verified is still out there, but hope it is. Super Moon Man on the 6th. Peter, a.k.a. Zipster from the Zip and Company podcast in Weymouth, Dorset, UK, is on the 7th. Dandy Man, one of our patrons, is on the 8th. Also sharing that same birthday on the 8th is Gideon, a.k.a. Michael H. Happy birthday to all of you if it is your birthday. You know what? I could do a subtitle, but I think it's going to kind of write right over. That's not even the right screen. Let's do this. The lower third? Ah, the heck with it. Okay, never mind. I miss my video engineer wife.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Move on.
Professional. She can do much better because she's not trying to do three things on the same computer. All right. Yeah. If you want to be out there, go to chuckchat.com/wiki or chuckchat.com/birthday. They both go to the same place. Put your name in there. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. And with that, goodbye, marching band. Wah, 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 wah.
Got a frog in my throat.
There we go. Which brings us to
now the news.
Good startling news, everyone.
All right. Somebody good heavens. More than I stepped on good news, everybody.
You sound like I heard five sound effects in there for a second.
It did sound like there was something in the background that was kind of edited out. Like that dun dun dun. Anyway. We rolled. We're gonna stick with that order then. So I'll go first on the news stories. Oh, we have an update to the news story. Craig's been editing. Yeah. Theories abound over the mystical metal monolith found in Utah. You guys heard about this, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, you know, straight out of 2001.
It's 2020.
Yeah. A few years late.
10 years after 2010.
We need a movie thing every 10 years. A giant metal mystery slab has captured the attention of millions as people speculate over how such a structure came to be in a remote part of southern Utah. I kind of want to drive up there and see it, don't you? The object.
Well, I think that's wait, is it, somebody, tourist attraction. I saw something that it had been removed already.
Oh, yeah. Darn.
Spoiler alert on the update.
The object was first spotted last week by a helicopter pilot and wildlife officers who were flying above the rugged area to conduct annual count of bighorn sheep for that state. It immediately drew comparisons to the, of course, the monolith featured in 2001 A Space Odyssey, as well as inviting suggestions it could be the work of extraterrestrials. The helicopter.
Extraterrestrials.
Scully and Mulder showed up. So they.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to believe. The. They did say that, you know, even though it's federal land, it is illegal just to plop something out there, as cool as that might be. I want to know where it went. Like, could you put it in the middle of a city park, the nearest town, and say, this was our desert monolith that came from aliens?
What do you think? It would be kind of cool if it moved around.
Someone's got a dozen of these and they just keep going, wham, there's another one in a remote spot. Wham, there's another one in a remote spot. And it wouldn't be like all in Utah. It would have to show up in like Northern Oregon and then
Central Park,
Georgia. It just blast these things every few months, just stick one up and go, what does it mean?
That's right.
Out west on I-10.
So the update, the spoiler alert, it's gone, Craig.
Yes, and the update was that, yes, it's gone, and if you go to the update link, you can see some video of, you know, people actually going there. It's very remote, so it's hard to get to it. You know, you have to drive, and then you have to hike, and anyway, I watched the YouTube video of one of these guys. It was kind of neat. Him and his friend went. There were other people that showed up, and now, apparently, it's gone and nobody. And, the Park Service said that, they didn't remove it. Somebody else did.
Aliens did, of course.
Yes, of course. And then there was, I don't know if it was this article. One of the articles had another picture of what was left, and it's basically a tiny aluminum or I don't know, stainless steel pyramid on some stacked rocks in its place. Huh.
Interesting.
So that's a little different.
Pyramid is dead.
Was that?
Pyramid power.
Pyramid power.
Straight out of the 70s. Get your old 70s pyramid.
Your razor blades.
Put the hats back on. Next story. Scientists make bigger monkey brains using human genes.
Yeah, because this always ends well.
Exactly.
I don't know. More food for Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah, what was that? The Deep Blue Sea shark movie where they were made smart sharks. I was like, who thought that was a good idea?
Read the news story. Take us through what they did with these bigger monkey brains, Craig.
Anyway, as I was suggesting, what could possibly go wrong? Scientists made monkey brains double in size by splicing them with human genes in a Planet of the Apes style experiment. Not in 2020.
Gunter, no. they came up
this
with
is not the year to do that.
They came up with
they increased the size of the brain cavity so that the monkey brains weren't coming out their ears.
Good point.
They came up with
that's an image I'm not getting rid of now.
Gunter from Futurama.
Yeah, that's right. He has to wear a little bowler
hat to cover up where the brains were sticking out.
Yeah. So during the study, Japanese and German researchers injected a gene called ARHGAP11B, rolls right off the tongue, which directs stem cells into the human brain, into the dark matter of the marmoset fetuses, according to release about the research. They found that the primates' brains soon became more human-like by developing larger, more advanced neocortexes, the area that controls cognition and language, according to the study published by the journal Science in June. According to images released by the researchers, the modified monkey brains nearly doubled in size around 100 days after gestation. So we found indeed that the neocortex of the common marmoset brain was enlarged and the brain surface folded. The neocortex is the newest part of the brain to evolve. One sign of ARHGAP11B.
Bingo!
So it may have caused brain growth during human evolution. Ultimately, scientists opted to abort the monkey fetuses, which I didn't like this part of the story, due to unforeseen consequences. Meaning, go crazy and try and take over the world.
Well, I'm sure it made the birthing process harder. Bigger brain, bigger head. That's the human brain is as big as it's going to get until unless you want to do a cesarean section on every woman. But I think they'll cut down the time at least by half of how long it takes to write that random monkeys on typewriters thing to get Shakespeare done.
Yeah. Oh, look, it only took 5 years.
It is an infinite number of monkeys with an infinite number of typewriters.
Yeah, we cut it down to half infinity.
Half of infinity.
Half of infinity.
To half of infinity and beyond.
That's you just came up with the premise of the next Toy Story movie.
Yeah.
Why not? They can't shoot regular movies, so we might as well make some more CG ones.
Oh, yeah, right.
This is an exclusive Pop Mech Pro story. Join now or sign in.
Who has? I was able to pull it right up.
Into Popular Mechanics.
Is it? Are you reading the reverse aging one?
Yep.
Huh. I was able to pull it right up.
Someone needs an ad blocker. Are you able to read it? Okay.
No, because it says it's exclusive to Popular Mechanics.
I'm able to pull it. Yeah, I could not pull it up.
Oh,
really?
All right.
I couldn't. No.
You know what? All right. Well, I'll read what I can read then. The cure for aging has long been the holy grail of medicine. Emerging technologies like gene editing tool CRISPR have opened the floodgates to what may be possible for the future of medical science. The key to slowing down aging, however, may lie in a simple and age-old technique. Get more sleep! The first time, Israeli scientists...
Stop eating so much!
Right. Don't smoke. Please, don't smoke. For the first... That was a terrible Yul Brynner, but you get the idea.
Wear your mask, whatever that means.
For the first time, Israeli scientists showed the reversal of aging in two key biological clocks in humans by giving patients oxygen therapy in a pressurized chamber. The results appear in the journal Aging. Very appropriate name.
That's hyperbaric technology. Yep.
Yes, it is. I have a bit of a story. Hang on for that. It was more of a typo than a story. I gotta put this where I can actually finish reading this. Telomeres. Telomeres are those little pieces on the end of the nerves that are like the little plastic tips on your shoelaces. And every time the cell divides, it gets a little shorter. Telomere shortening can prevent rogue cancerous cells from multiplying uncontrollably. But unfortunately, this comes with the cost of genetic aging. These geriatric cells that can no longer divide are also known as senescent cells, which accumulate over the period of your life and are believed to be one of the leading causes of aging. I thought the leading cause of aging was getting old.
Or time.
Time? So is that senescent instead of sentient cells?
It's S-E-N-E-S-C-E-N-T. Senescent? Never heard that term before. Let's read on.
Neither have I.
In a clinical trial... 35 healthy adults aged 64 and older received 60 oxygen therapy sessions daily over the course of 3 months. The scientists collected the subjects' blood samples prior to treatment, after the first and second months of the trial, and 2 weeks after the trial was over. None of the patients had any lifestyle, diet, or medication changes throughout the study. And yet, their blood work showed significant increases in the telomere length of their cells and a decrease in the number of their senescent cells. This isn't the first time doctors have put patients into pressurized oxygen chambers. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or HBOT, has been used for almost a century to treat a number of illnesses, including decompression sickness in deep sea divers and carbon monoxide poisoning. The therapy involves breathing pure oxygen in a pressurized chamber. I thought oxygen under pressure was toxic.
Well, it's very controlled.
You wouldn't be able to take them to more than, like, I think at 2 atmospheres, it's dangerous stuff. Yeah. Okay. But it causes the blood and tissues in your body to become saturated with oxygen. Strangely enough, this can trigger similar physiological effects that occur when your body is starved of oxygen, known as hypoxia. While previous research shows these effects can stimulate your brain and increase your cognitive abilities, this is the first study to show that the therapy may also reverse aging. Interesting, interesting. A couple more paragraphs, but I won't read them all out.
You know, when I first saw this story, I kept thinking of Michael Jackson.
Wasn't he doing
that before? Maybe it was a rumor.
I think he was, but he's dead.
Well, then it didn't work.
That's not what killed him.
No, I know it's not. No, when I saw the picture of the chamber, that's my first thought was, I remember seeing, I guess when an alleged picture of Michael Jackson and he was in it, and then there was rampant rumor, and I always thought, you know, it's probably true or probably not. But then again, there's some crazy stories about him that is probably true. So I don't know.
Never know. The story I had was a couple of months ago, my parents had a write-up. Oh, they were featured in the Marquette Historical Museum because they were pioneers in scuba diving in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, Lake Superior.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And it was nice. They had a nice, you know, storyboard up there with pictures and whatnot. And recently there was an article in the local newspaper as well. And they did this write-up, but instead of saying hyperbaric chamber, they said bariatric chamber.
Oh, dear God.
Not
the same.
If I had decompression just sickness, I do not want to go into somebody's stomach.
Well, bariatric,
Oh, my God. That's,
When you say bariatric chamber, I think it's somebody's stomach, but... They made another a faux pas and common misconception that we filled many divers' oxygen tanks. Like, no, I did thousands of them and I never filled any oxygen tanks. It was always compressed air. For the same reason I just stated before, it's toxic under pressure. All right. Was that our last story? Reverse aging? You know what? We're having so much fun. Let's continue on. We'll soldier through the break and go right into the part where we say, normally on a good Sunday night, when we have all the internet interwebs cooperating with us, we would be able to stream this out live to you on Facebook and YouTube at 9:30 p.m.
Hi, everybody.
Facebook, 9:30 p.m. Sunday. But we have
a belated hello. This one.
Greetings from another time and poor space dimension thing.
That's right. A bloated hello. Oh yeah.
Right.
That's belated. Belated.
Oh, belated, not bloated.
Yes.
Hyperbaric hello.
If you want to get notified on those rare occasions when we do get on Facebook, go over to our Facebook page. Look for Technorama Podcast on Facebook. Like it, turn on the notifications, do whatever you do on Facebook, but please don't do the good things you do on Facebook on our page.
Yes.
Let's go on to Remember When. Who's okay? Keith, you get a second at bat for the Remember When article.
Let's see.
There you go.
Okay, here we go. Next, get away. Go away. Go away.
More pop-ups. Shoo.
All these pop-ups. Good grief.
This
never heard of Cecilia Payne?
No.
The woman who literally discovered what the universe is made of. Well, you're not alone.
Monkey brains.
We probably would. What's that?
It's made up of monkey brains.
Yeah, she is. We probably wouldn't have heard of the Beatles without Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, and Elvis Presley. And we wouldn't have rock and roll as we know it without the Beatles.
Thank you.
If you agree with the school of thought that we build off the accomplishments of our predecessors, then Cecilia Payne is a rock and roll as they come. In a Facebook post making the rounds again after the original went viral 2 years ago, Cecilia is once again having a light shined on her accomplishments. And yet, it still doesn't seem close to what she deserves. Stop.
A Nobel Prize?
Yeah. Is that what it is? Let's see here.
We'll cheer her on.
There's too much ads in this
Yeah,
article.
Lots of pop-up.
Good Lord. The Facebook post was, I didn't know that. Since her death in 1979, the woman who discovered what the universe is made of has not so much as received a memorial plaque. I thought it said plague.
No.
Halfway across the room.
So we're naming the pandemic after her.
Glasses don't go that far. Yeah. Her newspaper obituaries do not mention her greatest discovery. Every high school student knows that Isaac Newton discovered gravity, that Charles Darwin discovered evolution, and that Albert Einstein discovered the relativity of time. But when it comes to the composition of our universe, the textbooks simply say that the most abundant atom in the universe is hydrogen. And no one ever wonders how we know. And that was Jeremy Knowles discussing the complete lack of recognition of Cecilia Payne gets even today for her revolutionary discovery.
What did they say on Game of Thrones? It is known.
It is known, yes. And that said, born in 1900 in Wendover, England, Cecilia was always fascinated by the stars. According to Harvard Magazine.
Mazikeen.
Harvard Mazikeen.
Craig, what virus have you unleashed on Keith?
Apparently,
when in high school,
the read 'em and weep virus.
Yeah. When in high school, she actually approached a local bookbinder in London to put a fake cover that read Holy Bible on the book she was supposed to be studying so she could pursue her true passion, which was science. Her silent defiance would eventually get her kicked out of school after being accepted at the St. Paul School for Girls. St. Paul being the operative there, she recalls walking through the doors and thinking to herself, I shall never be lonely again. Now I can think about science. In 1919, she was awarded a scholarship to Cambridge University, nice. Which had only recently started to accept women. And while they accepted women, they were a far cry from taking them seriously in the field Cecilia uncontrollably passionate about. One night after hearing three nights, blah, 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 blah. Let's move on.
Wow.
She went to Harvard. Tenure,
astronomers were trying to answer the riddle that had evaded them and everyone before them. What are stars made of?
Star stuff.
Star stuff.
Star yes. stuff.
Billions and billions. As they were starting staring at the stars, befuddled as they looked through their high-tech telescopes, Cecilia Payne figured it out using a jeweler's loop. What she discovered was that hydrogen was a million times more present in the universe than anyone had realized. When she presented her thesis, the famous Russian-American astronomer Otto Struve called it the most brilliant PhD thesis ever written in astronomy. Wow, Henry Norris wow. Russell, dean of the American Astronomers and head of the Princeton Observatory, did not agree.
Curses!
In response, yeah. In response to Payne's book, Stellar Atmospheres, Russell called her hypotheses clearly impossible and that her results were almost certainly not real.
He was in the monkey brains later, camp.
Yep. 4 years later, after he using his own methods, Russell came to the same conclusion as Payne's original idea. He then took the credit, giving her an unceremonious honorable mention.
Oh,
oh my God. Oh, my God. Heaven forbid, she said. She was right and I was wrong. It is kind of like reading someone's book idea and saying, there is no way that would work, and then coming up with the same book idea 4 years later and calling it brilliant.
Shame on you, Henry Norris Russell.
You are way ahead of your time. You are the Nina Simone of astronomy.
Who's Nina Simone?
There you have it. Remember yeah. when.
All who's right.
Nina Simone? Hold on. I'll ask.
Cecilia Payne, we salute you. Henry, what's your name? Shame on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. For shame. For shame. Shame.
You walk around shame. Him with the bell. Shame. Shame. Wow, that's two Game of Thrones references.
Do I have a ding here? Oh, no.
He's got to wear a red S on his chest now.
That's my ding. It's like shame. Where's my ding?
Shame, shame, shame. No. Shame of fools. Sorry. We've run off the rails again.
Yeah.
As usual.
All right. Let's thank our patrons while we do the needful here. All right. This is the part of the show that I like where we thank our patrons and thank you very much because the Mac Mini is still in the shop, but we should have it back this week, and it's going to cost some shekels, and you have provided the means to service our machines and keep this podcast running in so many ways. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man, whom we mentioned earlier, Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry, thank you, John Clifford, and John Noble.
John Noble?
Yes, that Yorka Schrauen. Christina, Kyle Nishioka, thank you, Leon, thank you, Mark Kilfoy, Kilfoyle, Craig distracted me with Mike Wills.
Intentionally left blank.
Thank you, intentionally left blank. Saturday Morning That's like Media.
They're not appearing in this film.
That's right, not appearing in this film.
Thank you, Stephen Weshey. Steve Therian, Spiffy, Steve Cody, and Sweet Steve London from Sweden. Thank you, everybody. You are amazing. If you would like to be a patron of this podcast, get the special content and get an honorable mention on every episode of the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. Imagine what your friends, well, if you had friends and they rode in the car with you in the carpool, if we could carpool again at some point, but yeah. You're sitting with somebody within earshot and they hear a podcast and your name is called out explicitly. And you can say, I'm semi-famous because I was on that one podcast. Then they said my name.
That one time.
Yeah.
Not selling it, am I? Patreon.com/TechnoRamaPodcast. We thank you again for all your donations. All right.
That's, I think you got a little carried away there, Chuck.
Me? Yeah.
Never.
Never.
I'm in marketing now. I can do whatever the heck I want. You get paid to make up crazy ideas. It's a wonderful job.
Yeah. I want in on that.
Trust me, you are.
Okay.
All right. Do I have, I forgot to put in the pass me the remote. We had a sweeper music for that, but I didn't get it in the little mixer board. But our segment, Pass Me the Remote, is all about shows we've recently completed or watched or whatever. And the one that I finished this week is called The Liberator. It's a 4-part series, about an hour per episode. It is done in rotoscope and is a story about, it's a World War II story that follows the journey of this man from just before the war when he was a lieutenant. He rises up in the ranks as they're going through the European theater up through Italy and southern France. And it has some gory moments that really make you thank the people who gave what they did way back when. It's a heartfelt story because he takes this band of misfits, kind of like Baba Black Sheep, but there's more people lost along the journey than in Baba Black Sheep, because I'm not going to put any spoilers in there for you. But if you like, this is based on a true story. I don't know how factual it is in terms of details, but they get into some serious details, and there's some surprising moments. You know, as the Nazis are retreating and they're doing battle with these people in Anzio in England, how about Italy? Anzio in Italy, there was a very tough battle. They lost a lot of people, and some touching moments as well. And he's constantly writing back to his new wife, as and I think he has a new child just before he ships off. And he's constantly writing these letters back. So that kind of carries the narrative through the show. Very well written, very, very touching, very personal. And you get to the end going, boy, I'm glad I didn't have to go through any of that.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was brutal in a few places, in a lot of places. So I liked it. It's on Netflix. I give this a 9 out of 10 stars. Really well done. Wow.
What about you two guys? I don't have anything that I've finished to review. So what have y'all been watching lately?
We've been doing a lot of rewatching. I don't know if that really counts.
Yeah, we rewatched Grimm, but we've also had a couple of screeners recently. That one was the Last Vermeer.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Which was phenomenal. It was a World War II thing.
Post-World War II film.
Yeah, post-World War II. And then we just before this, we watched
Sound of Metal about a heavy metal drummer who goes deaf.
There's the cat.
There you go. On the keyboard.
Yeah.
Cat tail.
Yes, there's her tail. Still.
Kitty. Yes,
hello.
Hi, Sophie.
Kitty. Yeah, Sound of Metal. And then we also
Watch Uncle Frank.
Uncle Frank, yeah.
Sound of Metal.
What is Uncle Frank?
Sound of Metal. That comes out later this week.
Yep.
Okay. On Amazon Friday, Prime.
Yeah. Okay.
It is a phenomenal movie about a man who goes deaf and the acceptance that how he has to adapt and finally accept his condition. It is brilliant. Fabulous movie. I'll be writing a review for that, and that review will be coming out on our website at tggeeks.com this Thursday. Thank you.
Yes.
I just started on season 4 of The Man in the High Castle. And I think I mentioned this before. You guys weren't around for it, but I'd watched season 1. I was impressed, but I thought that I should leave it there because I didn't want to take it beyond where the book kind of went. But I really, my buddy Scott last month talked me into watching more of it. And I thought season 4 was not out yet. So I stopped about a week ago there. I'm done. Let's have our usual monthly chat. And he says, where did you end off? I said, at the end of season 3. He said, why didn't you watch season 4? Darn it.
Yeah.
So I'm scrambling to catch up again. So I really do like where they're taking the story and how they're bringing the whole, without ruining it, the whole multiverse thing into perspective. And it really makes you question what is real, what is now, what is here.
Interesting.
What else is happening that may influence, and who may be influencing that? So it's really kind of making you go, this is good stuff.
Yeah. I have to take a look at that.
I'm still
wanting to be on air here with us.
I'm still watching The Mandalorian. Of course, it's coming out weekly.
Oh, yes. So
love it. I think that
Friday's episode was really good stuff.
Yeah. It has gotten progressively better as the season goes on, and they keep taking it just a notch further, and I'm enjoying it. I think every time you start off with these episodes, especially this season, it seems like the production quality is just, I mean, it's off the charts. I think it looks great.
Yeah, I love the show.
Yeah.
And
what?
Our cat.
Oh, your cat. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she wants to be on camera. Yeah.
Who is that?
Sophie.
Okay.
Yeah. The Mandalorian. I agree. That's been absolutely phenomenal. Terrific show. It's done a great job at keeping the true spirit of Star Wars going. And I say true spirit. But some of the neat things, and I don't want to give it any spoilers, but the big guest star that they had for that last Friday's episode, she great.
Off the hook. I loved it.
Yes, it was. In fact, there's already rumor, and emphasize the word rumor, that Disney is looking at maybe creating a spinoff for her. Interesting. Yeah. Whether that happens or not is a different matter, but I'm not surprised that the rumor is there, because I thought she did a bang up job.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was thoroughly impressed myself. So yeah. So that's the things we're watching, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. One more story. And then
Discovery, of course. Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh I haven't watched the last episode, but yes, you can follow our reviews along at The Topic is Trek.
Oh my. The last episode. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Oh, don't say anything.
We're in the rewatch of Voyager right now.
Yeah. So
just about done with that.
Yeah, just about. I haven't started my rewatch of Voyager. I'm finishing up Deep Space Nine. And whatever reason, I have no memory of season 6. I swear I didn't watch season 6. I don't remember any of the episodes.
You know, remembered pretty much most of Deep Space Nine as we were going through it. But as we're doing our rewatch of Voyager,
it's like we sat and watched every one of those episodes.
Yeah, I know we watched them. And like, I don't remember this.
Isn't that funny? Some of them just didn't.
I would recommend that after you finish your rewatch of Deep Space Nine, you should immediately jump into the documentary What We Left Behind.
I just finished that as well. Yes, I did watch that last week.
That's a great documentary.
It was good. And it's so sad, but now that some of these people have left us, I mean, Aaron Eisenberg is just really emotional on that documentary, and I love him to pieces. And it's so sorry that he's gone. And, you know, Renee is now gone as well, as is Michael Piller. I mean, there's just... I feel like what we
time left, passes.
Time passes. It does. Some of the people, they look terrific, and it was fun watching them do that kind of fantasy storyline of what would season eight look like as they went through in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I very much enjoyed it. Yeah, but that's been great, and I would say that when you get to the Voyager rewatch, I was surprised at how well the series held up.
Yeah.
In fact, it held up better than I expected it to.
Except for the Kazon. Oh, God.
Yeah, well, I don't need to deal with them. But everything else about this I thought was phenomenal.
They're a horrible villain.
Oh, they're disgusting.
Yeah, well, for the most part, I enjoyed Voyager. I don't think it had as many strong episodes as probably like TNG ended up with, and especially Deep Space Nine, but it was a good
one. I would agree with that. But I think there's while it doesn't have these episodes that really spike in quality, it has a better sense of consistency in quality. There aren't that many episodes where it just really bottoms out and you think, well, that was a turd. You don't get many of those.
Except the salamanders.
The salamander episode.
I did walk away thinking, okay, well, that's just equally as bizarre as it was the last time I watched
it. There was one that was posted in the Voyager Facebook group that was, I didn't recognize it offhand. They had a picture of these people dressed in crazy costumes. It almost looked like they were from Q's Continuum Court. They said they were supposed to be fearful, but they just turned out to look like a noisy, annoying party. And everybody in the comments said, I can't watch that anymore. I got to that episode and skipped it.
Maybe is that the one with that's the
guy with who's got like half black face and half white face from top to bottom and a couple of stripes and
yeah, that was that.
I actually don't remember that.
It was Fear that was playing.
Oh, yes,
that took over the people.
Yes. Yeah. It was all about fear, but nobody
in stasis or something.
Nobody really feared them. They just got annoyed.
Yeah.
That one was a
that's
turd.
A Twilight Zone episode.
I have to watch it because it's so bad that everybody can't watch it. That I really need to remind myself what this bad show is about, and then I'll hate myself for watching.
I don't even remember the premise, to be honest. it was that weird. But it's not like what TNG did, you know, and even Deep Space Nine, they had more episodes that just really bottomed out in a bad way. Voyager, not quite as many. And as I said, I thought the quality of the series, of especially the first season, you know, Kazon notwithstanding, I thought held up a lot better than I initially expected it to.
Well, not let's don't talk about Kes and we'll be okay. Kes was not my favorite character on Voyager.
No, yeah, I don't think she was anybody's favorite character on Voyager.
Yeah.
Nice to look at.
Anyway.
See, Chuck, I told you that was a running gag on the topic of Trek. As you know, said, what did you, I forget where it started, but I was like, before Clinton could finish the question, I was like, Kes, who would you eject off of
Voyager? Who would you send out the airlock?
Interesting that Kes gets a vote before Wesley.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? The last link we have here is a pretty visual one. So the fact that we're doing an audio podcast, I'm going to leave this one for you to go through the show notes over at chuckchat.com/technorama episode 620 and check out the Geek Library. It says this spectrogram visualization of a dial-up modem sound is mesmerizing. So if you want to watch something cool, it's the 3D waveform with colors and peaks and whatnot. And it's fun to watch.
It is pretty cool to watch.
It's fun to watch. Our question we leave you with a question of the week. What is something cool you recently learned about? All right. There you go.
Think about that one.
There's plenty of things.
Annually, Chuck gets this weird rash on his left knee. Not sure.
How is that cool, and why did you learn about
it? Cool, but
Craig's been hacking my medical records again. All right, and we will be talking to our patrons in just a few moments, which takes us to... So we're going to tap the right button here. There we go. End of the show. Thank you very much, Ben and Keith, for showing up. And
our pleasure.
Fun as always. Wish you could be here in person. I showed them earlier what's happening to the studio.
He's destroyed our sitting spot.
So many memories made in this room. So many memories before I even got here.
You missed an opportunity, Chuck. You should have taken some pictures in there with a sledgehammer.
Our podcast was birthed in that room.
That's true, it was.
Ew, I feel like I got to wipe down the walls now. Mop.
Just don't shine a black light in there, okay?
Ooh. Clean up on aisle 101.
Yeah.
Give us a call on the listener line at 707-530-CHAT. That's 707-530-2428 if you want to get your voice on this podcast. Until next time, Craig, give us a binary high five.
Hey, wait. Don't forget to go visit
Geeks. TGGeeks.com.
Find Ben and Keith there. All right. 101, everybody.
Adios.